Welcome everybody, Part-Time Alcoholics, episode 22. Guys, I'm so on track. I'm so locked in.
It took you 20 episodes to get the episode number right.
Very, very proud. Like,
but you see, once I'm locked in, I'm in. I'm running. I'm good. I'm like Kipchoge, the guy, but only I start slow.
You start and finish slow.
Anyway, it's episode 22. The Buffalo Trace edition.
Buffalo Trace.
Hey.
It's delicious and nutritious.
You guys have an understated popularity in the international community. I was shocked when I started to, because I didn't hear about you guys before today.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, that is Buffalo Trace. Because you don't find a lot of liquor stores online, and you're just like, oh my gosh,
Buffalo Trace.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah. Everything is shouting Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
But before we get into the who's and the what's,
yeah.
You are joined, as per usual, by the Suburban Bumper Action. I can't say my other one, actually. Someone called me out on it at some point.
What, the taxi driver?
Your mom's boyfriend?
Who
was
that? Was it a kid of the mom?
No, it was not. That was not. Don't worry about it.
Are you my daddy?
Anyway, a.k.a. what was the other one, my taxi... Anyway.
Taxi driver's...
Oh, the taxi driver's nutritionist. Yeah. Yes.
You're also joined by the Funky Funkin' Door, the Raconteur, a.k.a. Le Grand Bay, a.k.a. Candy Spice,
a.k.a.
your favorite plant-based snack.
A.k.a. And Shermaine Dupri.
I fam, no, that's not gonna work. That's not gonna work.
AKA DIY
Zeddy.
Thank you.
AKA, don't bring 12 people to my house.
Facts though. But that's a story for another day.
That might be a story for later on in the podcast.
And we have another illustrious guest.
We have an illustrious guest. The illustrious guest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do your AKAs or can we help you out?
I think you guys should help me out.
Okay.
I'm new to this whole AKA game. I don't have the street cred like
just
you guys.
AKA the coolest bartender. AKA Miss Buffalo Trace.
AKA Mrs. Double Johnny and Cream Soda.
Johnny Blue and Cream Soda. That's her favorite drink, by the way. Double Johnny Blue and Cream
Gotta
Soda.
Put respect.
Hold on, let me just get clear the record. It's not my favorite drink. I have no ties to this whatsoever. It's just what I've served before. Yeah. Just to clear that up. I don't want to ruin my reputation. Yeah.
It's late now.
AKA she bleeds bourbon.
Yes, she. Oh, that's a good one. AKA she bleeds bourbon.
Yes, Lauren Penny.
That's my favorite out of all of them.
Right?
I like that. Yeah.
I think actually you might need to get that as a tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a bourbon glass tattoo on my arm. Yeah, just to keep it
dragging.
Here, you thought we were being hyperbolic when she said she bleeds bourbon. It's there or no? How are you doing, Lauren?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
I am great.
I are fine because I earned on though.
Do you have a belly button?
Mm-hmm. Live and direct.
So, Lauren is from Truman and Orange, from right?
Yes, correct.
And you guys have brought us Buffalo Trace. Ooh, the story of this is fun. Like, we went to, what was that show?
The only whiskey show. Yeah.
And just like, it's like whiskey shows. You go around, you taste mad whiskeys. My favorite of the night was the Buffalo Trace. Kind of had a back and forth about it, but I was like, and I remember at some point, I distinctly remember like having a really long conversation and you were trying to do your job. So you're like, dude, there are other people.
I literally left you.
There are other people here.
I left you and went elsewhere.
Thanks for liking this, but like,
I don't know
I have a job.
I think tasting works, but keep it
moving. Yeah, keep it moving.
Jog on.
You definitely helped with my job too, because like people were coming and you were just started doing my job for me. I was like, you can stay.
So it's like the three-card.
The three-card shuffle.
Yeah.
You need a hype man to create hype.
Yeah.
Lauren's super good at what she does because like, I'm very picky with my taste. So she was like, taste this. And I'll taste it. I'm like, I feel like it's like something like, then you're going to like this. Guaranteed the best. The best choice for me, she knew exactly.
Did
one
you sweat
taste
the
away.
Headache and fever away?
Honestly, it was a whiskey tasting at the end of the night, I don't remember what I taste. I just end up eating biltong at the end of the night with some Chinese people. And I don't know. And the whole place closed down around us.
Night
and we're just
success.
Eating biltong with some Chinese
people.
That's usually how good nights go.
Most whiskey shows should end, let's be honest. Eating food with random people at the end of the night.
Exactly.
Making new friends. Your new besties. Did you guys friend request each other? Because, you know,
that's
only where it becomes legit, you know, if you friend request each other afterwards.
It's not real if you're not friends on Facebook.
I don't even have Facebook.
That's also good. That means they're not stalking you. Mark Zuckerberg, that is. So, Lauren, tell us a bit about Buffalo Trace. What's the vibes here?
Oh, wow. Vibes, such a great brand. So, Buffalo Trace used to be available in South Africa, and then it's changed ownership, and we've recently bought it back. And I'm really, really glad to have it back on the market again. It's just, bourbon as a category is really amazing, and it should be a lot more applicable to the South African market because we generally have a sweeter palate. But South Africans are a little bit scared about bourbon because they only associate it with one brand. And what I'm trying to do now is just kind of, you know, educate and just get more people to try it and understand that bourbon can be a lot more. What I love the most about Buffalo Trace is it's completely diverse. It can appeal to different palates. It's got that natural bourbon classic sweetness, got a little bit of underlying spice that just comes through, but that soft lingering finish that just kind of stays a little bit longer than you thought it would, just for me, just makes it absolutely incredible. And it's just like such an easy drinking brand, and also the price point, you know, it's also just kind of comes in at $2.99 retail for a bottle, so it's super affordable. So it's not something you're gonna, like, you know, cut off your left toe and like sell it on the black market to be able to afford a bottle, which is a big thing, you know, with South Africans being conscious about the brands.
And what event am I taking it to? What social event?
Oh, so for me, go to your braai, put about a bottle on the table, drink it by it, like on the rocks, kind of how you guys are enjoying it now. Add some soda water. If you want to make a long drink, you'd add some ginger ale. If you want to be super fancy, some old fashions and whiskey sours always go down like a treat. And that's why I say with this brand being versatile, you can literally fit it into any way. Sometimes if you're feeling a little bit more hardcore, you can have what we call a Boilermaker, a beer and a shot of bourbon, which is really famous in the States. You literally order your beer and you get one of those, like, you know, those big, massive American shot glasses.
Why are American shot glasses so big?
They aren't shot glasses. In our terms, they're pretty much like smaller whiskey tumblers. But in the States, those are shot glasses. I've just come back from America. I have some scary stories I will not tell you
about. Tonight is the night we open up this Pandora's box.
But literally, and it's amazing, they sit there with their bottle of beer and their shot of bourbon, and they literally sip the two, or they have their shot and then sip the beer. It's kind of the culture that they do it, you know, and it's really, I mean, just
do you end up saying yeehaw after you do that?
I don't.
How long were you holding on
that? Oh, quite a while. No, I'm not gonna lie. I was sitting on it for a bit. Like, it just seemed like a very
yeehaw. You let your inner child fly. You really don't hold back.
It just sounds like something you
like
would
you
have
with
the cowboy hat and one of those like electrical things, and, you know.
With like a sort of little strong, be like, we
some
don't take kindly.
Some Johnny Cash and line dancing in the back.
If I buy a bottle of Buffalo Trace, does it come with chewing tobacco and a spit bucket?
No.
Okay.
No. Accessories not
so
included.
What
but,
is
but,
market? So tell us about your
but
market.
If you guys buy it now, we're doing, actually, we brought it up, we're doing some gift packs at the moment of the festive season. If you buy a bottle of Buffalo Trace, you get two beautiful tumblers. Complimentary with it. So
that's our household.
It's super cool. Like, it's such a nice gift for someone else, or it's a happy Christmas to me type of. You know, generally, actually, what I land up doing, I don't buy presents for other people. I buy presents for myself, and I'll share it with everyone else.
I kind of like that strategy. Actually, I might need to start adopting that. Like, hey guys, I've bought us a case of whiskey.
Yeah.
Everybody, come to my house and bring food, and we can have a party.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't have to cook.
And you don't have to pay for the food either.
Look at that. That's visionary.
Guys,
that is visionary thinking.
It's not my first rodeo.
Clearly.
All right, shall we do this?
Let's do it. We're having a shooter of.
Apparently, we've been advised that this actually tastes really good as a shooter. So if it doesn't, please phone Lauren.
Apparently, it tastes
find
like
her.
Sex in your mouth.
That's some interesting sex. No, that's actually a really nice...
Makes you feel a woman fuzzy inside.
I mean, bourbon does that generally.
Yeah,
I do.
Oh, it's the best part about bourbon.
That is nice.
It is.
That is really nice. Yes. That makes me happy.
I don't know, it's not as smooth as some of the other stuff we've been having, but that's it's a different alcohol entirely.
But it's like
but
soft.
With making bourbons like against bourbons.
It felt like a
hug. Like a sweet hug.
I don't know, the after kick
like, bourbon. The hug from your grandmother with the big old titties, and then like she just embraces you.
Mm, and like hand like calluses. So it's like a little rough, but like it's like, aww. I really like that. I knew I wasn't just drunk.
Going down, it was very nice, and then sort of it hit my sinus a bit.
Get a little bit of the burn.
Yeah, a little bit of the burn at the back. It's a good burn though.
I like the burn because it reminds me of that I'm still human and I'm not invincible. Because imagine if it didn't have that burn, you would just like take the whole bottle and the next minute you're
that is actually a very
that's
good
burn. It's just that little bit of a kick being hold on.
It's like a punch in the chest, it's like, hey.
So after you take a shot, like it's like you're playing Mortal Kombat and your power goes down a little bit.
Just that little bit of electric shock, just to be like, hold on a second, be cool.
Be cool.
Okay, we are into the glasses while everyone's discussing Mortal Kombat. I really like how this smells. Is this like, I feel like there's some kind of honey in here.
No, but you get a lot of that, vanilla, that sweetness comes also a lot from the barrels. So a big part of bourbon, what makes it very different from a Scotch or an Irish, is the fact that you have to use brand new charred American oak barrels. And that's like a huge thing with the bourbon industry. And the charring of the inside is really important because it releases a lot of like the lactans and the pectins and the wood itself. And that's where you get a lot of that vanilla.
What lactans? Is that, do you put milk in the whiskey? Is that what's happening?
Oh, lactations and palpitations.
It's specific. It's like a chemical reaction within the wood that releases certain flavors. And that's why you also find that a bourbon is a lot more of a rich, darker color than a single malt because of the fact that the barrels are inside a charred.
Is bourbon sort of becoming like the super cool drink again? Because a lot of, like Glenlivet, I think it's Glenlivet or Glenfiddich, have recently brought out one where it's your normal 12-year-old, but then aged in a bourbon cask. So I think there's a 12 or 14 year old, but they've got like Green Label, which I found really interesting because it's a single malt. And then they aged it in a bourbon cask, and then now they've got that as their own separate bottle.
A lot of, because of the fact that bourbon can only be used, the barrels can only be used once.
Yeah.
We ship most of our barrels to Scotland and Ireland, and some rums as well use them because once we're done with them, we can't do anything. They can use
them. Why only once?
Yeah.
That's the rules, the appellations, what the states put in place. It's also American oak, so they get their wood from America. So it's keeping everything within the within America, still providing jobs and all of that. Because cooperage, which is the guys that actually make the barrels, was a dying trade at one point. So they wanted to keep that alive within America because it's such a specialized technique.
So it's like white people's
like an American white people be for sure. I don't know if it's just white people though, but like that type of American BE.
The majority of the population.
Especially in Kentucky.
Just come from there. It's interesting.
You had a correction for us because we at some point had an episode where we were like, yo. With our World War II episode with Jack.
Oh yeah, Dan, we probably took like, all the shit.
And we were convinced that it was bourbon, and it turns out Tennessee we lied. We didn't lie. We were misinformed.
But I mean, if you look at the bottle of Jack Daniels, it doesn't say anywhere on the bottle that it's a bourbon. It says it's a Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah.
Because lawsuits are real.
Especially in America, they like to just sue anyone for any little thing. Look at the warning labels, and it's like pages long because they need to make sure that they cover all their bases there. They're very particular about stuff like that.
Also, I want to ask you a question because you've been a bartender and now you're working with a very good bourbon. Why don't the African bartenders know what bourbon is?
They should do that, and if they don't, then they should not be a bartender.
You ask them for a bourbon, they don't know what the fuck to do. They're lost. They're
first of trouble? Where are you hanging out?
How many places have you asked
for bourbon? This is a long-running complaint. Oh,
first of all, where are you hanging out?
We went to
all,
a place.
Let me know, and I will go and bitch slap some of those bartenders, because...
Almost all of Melville, including Barbara. Except, okay, La Santa knows.
No,
not La Santa.
Barbara.
Hell's Kitchen knows.
Hell's Kitchen definitely knows, and so does, what is the other one? Lonely Hearts?
Yeah. Yes, they know.
They know, because they've got a couple of my brands.
The rest don't know.
Barbara
and that whole Bolton Corner, they don't know.
Have you been to Syntax?
Syntax.
Yeah, Syntax for sure. They actually make one of the best whiskey sours I have ever had in my entire life. Like, their cocktails.
That's
are.
What they. It is in the world.
Really good Don Julio old fashioned.
Oh, and a very good
Don Julio old fashioned.
Yeah, tequila old fashioned.
Five drinks in front of you at one point.
I know.
Listen,
you go there and you're like, you don't know what to order because everything is so good.
It was.
They are so great there.
But like they, so they.
Different
nights. The day they'd won, like they'd announced that they were 88th in the world and stuff.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
And so they had like a whole thing and they were like, hey guys, come over. And I don't know, I'd met some of the bartenders, some I hadn't, but
yeah.
I don't know, I just met them. So they were like, try this, try this.
They've just got a whole new team there, which is really cool because I'm very good friends with Jules, who runs and owns.
Apparently, Jules is very good friends with everybody.
I mean, yes. But he's that person in our industry. He's like a celebrity in a sense, the most humble dude you've ever met in your entire life as well, which is really cool. And they've got a whole new team there, which is really exciting, just, you know, bringing in fresh blood. And they've actually got quite a few female bartenders.
Oh, brilliant.
Power to the girls. Yeah, so super stoked about that, because the percentage of female bartenders in this country is terrifyingly low.
I love how bartending has turned artisanal.
Yeah, it's a craft.
They literally asked Yolisa, what does your palate want to taste? What does your palate say to you?
Yeah.
And the guy next to you said he want bitter, you said you want smoky, and then your next round you wanted spicy, and they were literally doing like different cocktails for your palate.
But
like,
that's exactly how they literally asked him what does your palate say. But that's what the bar craft was back in the day though. With all the classic cocktail recipes that were coming out, that's what they did. You know, they developed them. You would go there and they wouldn't have a cocktail menu, and you would just sit there and say, okay, cool, this is what I'm feeling. I want something fresh and fruity and a little bit more summery. And and they create something like on the spot that's, you know, just and just for you. And then someone else will come and they'll say something, but they'll have one slight different change, and then they will create something completely unique. For me, it shows that it's the same thing as going to a restaurant and saying to the chef, this is what I feel like, and they create a dish for you.
That's great.
It's a craft.
And that's what it should be, I think, because we went to a place, not recently, but a while ago. It's called Josie Gin Eatery, whatever the case may be.
Oh, yes, the one with like 97,000 gins.
Fucking so many gin cocktails. And a lot of times you don't even know what the fuck you want. You just want a nice gin and tonic that might taste a certain way, but you got 100 options.
I do also,
It's like going through Netflix not knowing what to watch, and you just end up scrolling
and then you fall asleep before you even decide what you want to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, it'd be great if you can just go to a person like, this is what I want to taste.
Weird
segue.
But it's sort of like watching that Gordon Ramsay show when you went to like...
Kitchen Nightmares, that is exactly where...
You would go in and you'd be like, look at your fucking menu. People are not going to be able to choose... And you're gonna waste ingredients and store value.
When I
like
do
just chop it
exactly,
down to five.
But that's what I say. Like when I do consultancy for some bars, obviously because you know I'm getting my brands in and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen some shocking cocktail menus, and they think, oh no, but if we have one of everything, then there'll be something there for everybody. I was like, but if as a consumer, if you intimidate someone with too much choice, they're gonna tweak out and then just gonna order a glass of wine because there's just too much.
Mm.
You make a better costing on a cocktail than you do on a glass of wine. So keep your cocktail menu by no more than 10, absolute max. Have 5 classics that everybody knows, your margaritas, your mojitos, your, you know, daiquiris, those types of things. And then have 5 of your own creations or even just 3, and that's it.
Yeah.
Also, you save on
so
ordering.
Much
yeah.
costing. Yeah.
Yeah, like...
So much prep and all of that type of thing.
You don't have to buy shit that no one is consuming.
Yeah.
Or that
just
you're going
to
maybe sell one of those
one
cocktails in, like, in the month. But you've got to keep those ingredients for that whole time.
Because that's what we were talking about at that place. Like, it's literally like 6 pages of gin.
Yeah.
Intimidating.
And we were like, dude, like, okay, that one.
Like, but also, don't you find you go for a brand that you already know because you know that it's good and you trust it?
All I end up doing is getting a standard gin and tonic with a gin I like and a tonic I like. I'm like, you know what? Add some cucumber and maybe some lemon and I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's our, I don't care what it's called on the menu. That's just what I want.
Yeah.
Finally, after paging through the menu for 10 years.
Yeah.
Or you create a menu that's like Andichio's. I want a gin. I want the tonic. I want these added.
We don't have Andichio's in Cape Town.
What?
Oh my gosh, I love saying that to Joburg people. It's my favorite.
What do you mean you don't have Andichio's
in
Cape Town?
We don't have Andichio's in Cape Town.
Where do you get late night pizza?
Yeah.
We don't.
Wait, what?
They have like late night foot chef.
No,
like,
we
everything
go.
Is like beefcake, beefcake,
beefcake,
beefcake 3000.
Do you guys have like 24-hour KFC?
No.
Wait, you don't have Andichio in Cape Town?
No, we don't.
So
we've got
a
24-hour McDonald's. We've got McDonald's. We've got a Pizza Hut. We've got, we call it Club Engine, which is hilarious because literally that's where everyone goes from the draw to Engine.
Please tell me you guys aren't still having garage
sales. Is that the one
at
the top of Long Street?
No, it's it's in Gardens near, it's like near Upper Orange.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's near Long Street. Yes, yeah. It is long near Long Street.
But like Orangezicht, no.
It's
I don't know Cape Town geography.
Is Cape Town still having garage pies at 3 a.m?
No. Garage pies. They have a Steers there, and they have it literally a like you know a petrol station Woolies where
yeah.
they have like all that.
Yeah.
Sort of, that's
y'all are bougie ass.
Not
like,
really, bro.
No, it's just
we have options here, Joburg. At 3 a.m, you have options.
Guys, I just don't
that's
understand why you
McDonald's.
Don't have Andichio's.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not a thing in Cape Town.
Really?
Is it because you don't have water?
And that's also why we drink our bourbon neat, because why waste water in bourbon?
Hey.
Also, Joburg is a bougie with their water. You see that video where the dude, when Cape Town was at the height of the drought, dude just poured a whole 1 liter of water like for Cape Town and then poured it down the drain. Like, fuck you guys.
So mean.
I won't lie, I kind of felt like that when like I went to Cape Town like last year and was like shocked by all the signs, and the one Airbnb I stayed at even had like this big water drum in the house where you take from the water drum and you put it in the toilet. I was like, y'all got me doing manual labor.
Times are tough and terrifying.
That is
like super terrifying.
It was like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I don't know if it was that hardcore, but it was.
Fam, imagine you, fam, you would die. Imagine you could only take 1 2-minute shower.
I would
you know what
for the whole day.
I take like about 3 showers a day.
The super
oh,
rich.
Oh wow, okay, yeah.
In
you,
South
you
Africa,
would not have been able to handle Cape Town at all.
Yeah.
The super rich in South Africa were living on the bucket system.
That's
what was
that's
killing
yeah.
me.
No,
I was
but
this, like,
you know, those guys were catching fines because the super rich were like, fuck the smoke, I'm still using the
and
water.
And they were still, but the biggest thing was that they were watering their gardens.
Yeah.
And we're just like, you
filling
know what, I don't
pools.
Care whether you can pay. Fine, if you've got so much money you can throw it down the drain, shame for you. But what about the rest of the people that actually need that water more? Like, don't be that selfish.
Rich
I
people
mean,
don't
that
care
was,
about people.
Care.
I know, but it's just like, also, if you really don't care about your money that much, like, there's some of us that would really appreciate it. Like,
yeah,
I've seen a really cool pair of shoes.
No, they only care.
Cape Town
should
have started a campaign, like, pandering to, like, rich people. Just be like, you guys are so rich, you should bath in champagne. Just like create the ad campaign, like Bath and Champagne.
Bath and Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
See, now I can get on board with that because that would I mean, everyone would smell like bourbon. Oh, it would be amazing.
And you'd get
actually.
So drunk.
Go around licking people.
You would right. be so drunk, fam.
Yeah. That is the definite next campaign. We get
oh
people
gosh,
to buy.
Yes, I would get into so
from like,
much trouble.
Us three would get naked and pour a bowl of Buffalo Trace on top of ourselves.
And watch
how quickly
I lose my job against brand guidelines.
So like you know the old Black Label ads where they used to do like manual labor.
Oh yeah.
So you do like the manual labor, and then you dip them into like the you got them there like and then you go at the end of the day, and then like just mad people like.
And you just have us like humming in the background. You know, you need some spirituals in there. Like, we got the ad campaign.
You get
the
sound like of lights.
Yeah,
sure.
got
this.
Cool.
This
list is creative director.
About to kill your sales.
About to kill them.
They're going to want to fire you until they see the sales. It's going to be like,
oh, yeah,
and you're going to be like,
them,
you know what,
yeah.
guys? This is how innovation works.
We should do like little like 3-minute clips and just like sneakily release them online and see what happens. Maybe just
you know, like,
overtake
like
YouTube.
Some, like,
do what Nando's does.
Oh, I love Nando's.
Yeah.
Nando's is the best
advertiser. We're going to start a movement. You know how, like, some cabaret clubs have, like, those girls dancing in the champagne, like those champagne glasses.
Yeah.
Buffalo Trace.
That'll be expensive as glass. You might just share one glass. I'm just saying.
It's just gonna be three of us. It's gonna be two of us
in a glass. Three of us in a glass trying awkwardly not to bump into each other.
Trying to look sexy.
I'll get you guys water wings. It'll be fun.
How does one become a brand ambassador? Because to be fair, I think I need that job.
It's not as pretty and as glorified as it might look like it is.
Okay,
so
when is it?
There's a full 9-to-5 corporate side of it. There is a lot of fun though. I get to go and visit some really amazing bars, get to design cool cocktails. I get to drink bourbon all the time, which for me is the best part of my job.
Yeah.
I've been in the industry for a while. I've been in the alcohol industry for about 14 years now. Started bartending straight out of high school. And just kind of, I fell in love with alcohol. Like, absolutely fell in love with alcohol. But not in like an alcoholic way.
Part-time alcoholic, yeah. Welcome to the club.
I fell in love with being able to mix different flavors together and create different drinks. And my creativity came out a lot, you know, like, different spirits have different flavors and they work well with different flavors and just, you know, that type of thing. And I don't know, I think I just kind of landed in being a brand ambassador and just kind of stuck it out.
I got stuck at 14 years.
Let's open the bar. Actually.
You stopped listening at 14.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how old I am.
Don't be those guys. Stop it, guys. Mathematics and statistics.
I'm just gonna leave that.
Keep that to that.
No, it's not super hard, man.
So Lauren, you're a real one,
right?
Yeah,
you're a real one. See. Let's open a bar. Apart from our colleague's bar, let's do it.
Alright.
Lauren, you can do the consulting.
You can create the menu.
Guys, as long as there's bourbon there, I think it will do well.
Oh no, definitely. That's a standard. If you don't know the difference between normal whiskey and bourbon, you're not allowed in.
Oh, that should be like the password.
Exactly.
American Rye. That's a long password.
But the question is, though, is like, do you guys American know what cost. The difference between bourbon and scotch?
Here's a question, a possible winning question. Tell us, what's the difference between Tennessee whiskey and bourbon? There is one step that we mentioned earlier in this podcast.
Yes, but I want the best fake answers.
Oh, the best non-answers.
Worst answers only.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, worst fake answers. Whoever gives the worst answer, we should go in the competition for sure.
Perfect. Burst. So the difference between, there's one step, what's the difference between Tennessee whiskey and bourbon? Wrong answers only.
Wrong answers only.
Also,
they meet the most creative wrong answer. Absolutely. Like angels' tears.
Yeah.
And like...
She's willing her own bottle back. She's going to invite us over for dinner. We are going to bring the food.
We're going to bring back our own buffalo food.
She was like, let me get there before they do the TNC.
Wow. We see you in your stunts.
I like that. That is a clever
plan. Yeah, but also, I mean, it just shows how much I love my brand. Just a little bit of cheese, because
you guys do more than just Buffalo Trace, right?
Yeah, we've got, so the company that actually owns Buffalo Trace is called Sazerac, and we have the most incredible range of bourbons underneath our portfolio. Buffalo Trace, which is our flagship brand, our entry level. Then we've got Eagle Rare, which is just this beautiful 10-year-old, super soft, elegant. And then we've got Blanton's, which is, in all honesty, my favorite child. I know I'm not allowed to have a favorite child, but I have a favorite child. Blanton's is just absolutely amazing. It's in this round bottle. It's got this horse and jockey copper top.
You guys made that word up.
What?
Blanton's.
Blanton's. Yeah. No, it's actually the name of the guy that used to run the distillery, and they made it in his honor. His name was Colonel Albert Bacon Blanton.
Not even joking.
His middle name was Bacon.
He killed some people and skipped the
country.
The FBI
was after
him. He was in Woodstock.
Plankton.
He was Takeshi 69 and then went to Woodstock and changed his name. The Sazerac, one specifically.
So Sazerac Rye.
I like that one. That one is very,
very
nice.
It's one of the only ryes available in the country at the moment. And it's a phenomenal brand. It's really interesting. So the difference between a rye and a bourbon is that with bourbon, it has to be made with at least 51% corn is the base ingredient. Mm. With the rye, it has to be made with at least 51% rye.
Yeah.
So it's just swapping that base ingredient, but then it's almost exactly the same process of how it's made, or at least with Sazerac. So Sazerac owns all the brands, but all the brands are produced at Buffalo Trace Distillery, which is in Frankfurt in Kentucky.
Where does Truman Orange come in?
Truman and Orange is a South African, we're a spirit, craft spirit company. That
oh, so
we,
like Brand House?
Yeah, kind of what Brand House did, yeah. We
so you guys have the distribution rights?
We have the distribution rights for South Africa. For
oh,
I'm
okay.
Still stuck on bourbons made out of corn.
Yeah, so Millie's.
Yeah.
I really did not know.
Yeah, that's the main ingredient, and then it's a combination of two out of the three, rye, malted barley, and wheat.
So this is a European...
Actually, Lauren, I'm going to put you to task here. When are they going to make us craft Mkombothi?
Yeah.
We're ready for it. I'd like
are
some.
Are we ready for it?
Yes, we are.
Maybe,
man, we're going to have
maybe,
Mkombothi.
Maybe
episode.
We're the ones
to
do it.
Guarantee.
That's the thing. I'm just
I don't know how to make
it. Why don't you guys
do it?
I'm going to drink
I
the
mean,
stock.
Yeah. You can't be involved in the process.
Yeah.
I'm just going to find him floating.
He's
going to be floating in the barrel. Like,
doing backstroke. You're like, I'm in my happy
you'll
place.
You'll be on the marketing end. I think Ndo will be in the back room. You'll be in the marketing end. Like, that's
you'll
it.
You'll just see him on a lilo with a straw just on the side.
Yeah.
Doing round two of our campaign. Oh no, I'd really like that. That would be very cool, because like they're starting to do more like craft African type food and stuff.
Mm.
Even though I'm not so sure about that, like,
did you say craft food?
How does that
well,
work? Craft African food,
yeah, like they're doing
traditional
like
food, maybe not craft,
deconstructed ulusu or like fancy ulusu.
Oh, they're using it.
Ulusu is like tribe. I don't know. Like, this is just what these people be telling us. It is like
already deconstructed from the cow. Like,
no. Like, I understand the craft part of it because a lot of craft things
like
trying to do something extra.
Like gastronomy, basically.
Yeah.
Like that side of it.
Because
like I went to a restaurant then in Dahlstrom, and they try to do because it's a trout haven, that place. So I had a piece of trout. They had a cherry strawberry thingy jam slash whatever on top of that. It was
pie,
so weird.
Fam.
Why did you like pie so much?
No, that was the most revolting thing I've ever eaten in my life.
It was the most revolting thing in the world. A trout
doesn't
pie.
Doesn't sound good.
Oh, I was never so upset with Dahlstrom.
It wasn't Dahlstrom. I had a trout with like some cherry strawberry thingy on top of it, like a jam kind of thing. It looked a bit weird, but it was kind of, it was good.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it was good. It was strange, but it was good.
Because I discovered, you know, apparently to make ulusu is really easy. You just add water and salt. That's all. Fine. You just add water and salt. It's just natural flavors.
But then where
natural, delicious flavors.
But is it alcoholic?
No, ulusu is tripe. It's these things. It doesn't.
But we're talking about
no.
Mkombothi.
But you change the food.
Oh, sorry. Mm. Yeah.
So like. But yeah, you just
have
put it in a pot.
Yeah. I was like, wait a second. I thought we were talking about alcohol.
Last, we were not put a different title.
Can you imagine? Tripe cocktail, bro.
No, stop it.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that to
that's
my guy. Ooh.
We're drinking very nice things. We're talking about nice things, right? Just
though, a bourbon and tripe pairing might be good.
Would it?
I think so.
You could do pairings, but I wouldn't put it in the drink.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just going to let that bad idea
die. Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's
continue with the good idea.
Let's remove the orange and put a slice of stomach on the side.
Speaking of, in pre-production, Lauren was telling us a story. And I was like, no, we have to save this. So you used to bartend.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's where this request came from. Yes.
Yes.
At a very famous Cape establishment, who we won't mention because they haven't paid us yet. And go.
Okay. So you get very strange requests at the bar, always. My most baffling was double Johnny Walker Blue and cream soda.
Now.
But that was someone coming to the bar. and ordering the drink, two of them, and then leaving. So it's not like they ordered a bottle of Johnny Blue for the table, cream soda, you know, cans as mixes, and then, you know, show. Literally, done double Johnny Walker Blue and cream soda.
And they paid for it.
Yeah.
And they left with it and had it.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That's, so we were about to go into the why.
Yeah.
I have a theory about this. I think this is why our podcast exists.
Who's the bullshit?
Because I don't think that person particularly likes whiskey. I think that person knows that Johnny Walker Blue is a good brand.
Yeah.
And I think that person can afford Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows very much else.
Also, whiskey, I mean, cream soda. Of all mixes.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Of all mixes, that just baffles me. I mean, cream soda is the green ambulance, and that, and cane and cream soda when you're a student. Like, that for me is kind of like.
I blame St. Paddy's Day.
No.
That's when everything is green, so that's where cream soda
was. Was it St. Paddy's Day?
No, it was not St. Paddy's Day.
Speaking of.
No, but that's where you learned of.
Yeah. But speaking of, like, here's a more interesting. When last did you have cream soda as an adult?
When you're hanging, when you're proper hanging, like crazy hanging, cream soda is the thing.
You had coconut juice, fam. What are you saying?
Okay, because now you see, I'm bougie now, so I can have coconut water. So now the guys, hot tip: if you're ever hanging,
coconut water
is the best thing to have you recover.
It's the best thing to rehydrate you.
Quick,
literally, that and energy, best hangover
and
kills.
Guava juice.
I don't know about the
garbage
juice, but if that works for
you,
I mean,
it works.
Coconut water is a winner.
60% of the
time, all
the time.
Like, if you don't know alcohol and you want to have alcohol, whiskey, and whatever the case may be, a quick Google search, fam, can tell you. No Google search is ever going to tell you that whiskey and cream soda is a thing to have.
But you know what, guys? People are going to order what people are going to order, and they're going to drink it, and maybe they just wanted to have a spiked cream soda and just like a little bit of a lift to it. I don't know. Maybe they just...
But a Johnny Blue, though.
I genuinely believe that person just didn't... I don't think they know anything about the thing. They just ordered Johnny Blue because that is the brand they know.
Maybe, for sure.
I think the marketing worked. Why else would you put cream soda in the
Of all the mixes, though, that you could have chosen.
Fam, of anything in the world.
I mean, I've done Johnny Walker Blue and Red Bull countless of times, Apple Tizer, Ginger Ale for sure. Like, drink it however you want. But for me, the most interesting out of all of them, 100% cream soda.
Because Red Bull makes sense because it's like, this person wants to get hyped
mixing,
up.
Why are you also mixing a pretty good whiskey like that? Like, I don't think you should. If you're going to mix it with anything, soda water's your level that you're going to mix it at. If it's like a really, really good whiskey.
Now I just want to bring cream soda to the house.
You can bring cream soda. We're not going to mix it on. Fuck that shit.
I'm going to mix it with all the things just so I can see show him stress out a little bit. Be like, hey.
You'll drink that thing alone, bro.
Just like the 12 liters of juice.
Yeah. Unless it's like a cane. Cream soda and cane, cool. Actually, Fanta Grape and Malibu is also a thing I learned.
Since when?
Since I have a teenage sister.
Oh, okay. Got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's actually not bad.
What other weird shit happened to you as a bartender? Because I have heard some stories about, like, the bar is a crazy-ass place to be.
Before we get into those stories, can I ask? Sorry about
Yes,
that.
Go for it.
A lot of the times, you find, I'm not saying us, but you find a bartender, and she's a very pretty girl. We know that highly unlikely, no matter what you try, you're not going to end up shooting your shot with this bartender and getting it right. Because we assume that she's just getting all the shots shot at her all night. Is that true?
You know, the thing is, because, you know, if someone's flirting with you over the bar, you're working. You're not in a hey type of mood. You know, you're in a focus. There's loads of people, loads of drunk people, and also drunk flirting with when you're sober. It's not pretty, guys. Mm. Just to let you guys know.
DIY guide.
Mental note taken.
DIY guide as a dude, single guy, or maybe not, I don't know, whatever your vibe is. Go to a bar, you see a pretty bartender. What do you say to the said bartender to hook up with this bartender?
So it won't work if I say, hey, Lon.
Hey. I'm a cutie. Chick with the tattoos.
Yeah, that definitely.
So what would work?
What worked? No, not what would work. What worked?
I'm not a one night stand type of girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just put that out there. Yeah, okay. I'm not one of those girls. No offense to any of those girls. I'm just not one of them. Mm. You know, you just got to pay attention to the person.
Mm.
I think it's like any, whether there's a bar in between you or not, it's just pay attention, you know, ask the right questions. Don't just be there to be like, hey, give me free drinks. That's definitely not going to work, you know.
And telling you I love you.
Yeah, telling you love me is definitely not going
to
work.
How many times have you been proposed to?
A couple.
How does that go? Take me through one of these. You don't have to name anyone's name. I just need to paint this picture in my head.
Oh, I would imagine drunk. I mean, come on, guys.
So you're
drunk
behind
people,
the bar.
Like the, when you so work like, in this industry.
Hello. Hey, you. They don't know your name. Hey, you. Marry
hello.
Me.
So how? Yeah. What would you like too to drink? Oh no, but I can give you a drink. What would you like to drink? I'd like a double marriage and coke.
I'd be like, give me the ring, then we'll talk.
Yeah.
That's, let's see this character.
That's generally my answer, actually. See the ring and then we can have a conversation.
That's a dangerous game to play.
If he has a ring.
Because I can guarantee you the next day the dude's not going to remember anything.
I'm saying, well, at some point, dude's going to be like, ha!
A collection of rings.
I got you.
So I'm like,
you can open your own brows.
Exactly.
I'm selling wedding rings.
You don't know what happened in his house the day before. He might have took his wife's ring.
Exactly.
Like, yes. Here it is. Now what?
No, I highly doubt that. No, but it's always just fun, playful, like, you know, guys are like, oh my gosh, this is such an amazing cocktail. Oh my gosh, will you marry me? Like that type of, like, it's fun banter, that type of thing. Nothing serious.
Where's the coolest place your job has taken you?
Oh, wow. I've been to some amazing places. So I've recently just come back actually from Kentucky visiting Buffalo Trace, which is a lifelong dream for me, actually, like being in the alcohol industry. And we also got to go to New Orleans, which was awesome.
Oh,
amazing to go and check that out.
Yeah,
which was really cool. I've been to Mauritius for work before as well, which is really awesome. I mean, that island lifestyle.
At what point are you working?
Yes.
Well, in Mauritius, if you guys just do whiskeys, what whiskey are you doing in Mauritius?
This was when I worked on another brand.
Oh, so that's a rum.
No, it wasn't a rum. It was an aperitif.
Ah.
Yeah, so I went there. I went to France before as well. So I've been to some really amazing places with my work, which has been awesome. But also, like, just being traveling around South Africa, we have such incredible bars in this place. So much potential. And it's just, you know, giving them the love and the TLC that they... I love passing on that knowledge to everybody else. And also just watching how you grow to different places.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Jules and Syntax, like, you know, how to see where they've come and now to be in the top 80 in the world and the only bar in Africa that got that stamp of recognition is so huge for us. Mm. We're slowly starting to become on the map, you know, we're getting involved in global competitions where, you know, the guys are making names for themselves. Like, a friend, like my best friend is South African, obviously, and she's the global brand ambassador for Beefeater Gin. As a South African, that's insanely huge, you know, and it's awesome to just see how we're slowly starting to go and to get the recognition and just, you know, share that love and support within the country. It's just awesome. And
does
to be
best
part
friend
of that,
need a house husband?
She's already married. So
oh, does she need a second husband?
In South Africa,
well, does she
you
need
can
four
get
husbands?
Married more than once.
Does she need
no,
four
no,
husbands?
She, guys, she's very, very happily married, so sorry.
Oh. Well, what?
I guess...
A ring doesn't...
God,
no. Does she need a pool boy? Wow. No, but that is fucking brilliant. And I'm noticing, like, there are a lot more sort of South African people and, like, bars and stuff. Like, South Africa's establishing itself on the, like, bar map a lot more these days.
Also, is there space for South African-produced bottled bourbon? Well,
no,
it might not be able to be called,
won't
a bourbon,
be called a bourbon,
but using the same process.
So Baines did that.
Actually, I don't know.
Wait, how
well
did...
Though, right?
Okay, maybe
Baines,
I didn't taste the right one, because the Baines
is
Baines,
not...
So, very similar, yeah.
One of the Baines
I'm not entirely happy with Baines, to be honest with you. And we... we'll be real with it. With the brands and what we talk about, Baines, we're not a fan of Baines. But I'm not.
But they're more than welcome to come up here and we can discuss it with them.
And we can discuss it with them. But at this moment in time,
I think as a South African whiskey, they've done some amazing things. They've also just they're opening up
people,
you know, the country again, like putting us on the map. Same thing with Three Ships as well. Like they've got some beautiful brands within their portfolio, and again, just, you know, starting to get us to be recognized, to be in that global conversation. So might not be your taste preference, but I mean, there's definitely a place for a lot of people that really enjoy it. It's the same thing with brandy in South Africa as well, like where we are. Some of our brandies are, I personally feel, 10 times better than the cognacs that you get from France.
Very well media trained.
Vin Ryan's is rated the best brandy in the world, and that's South African.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, they won number one in the last 5 years in a row.
Yeah, we do make good brandy.
We make phenomenal brandy.
I think.
And Vin Ryan's started off as a craft brandy. It was like it was a small operation. Now they're huge.
Beauty. There's some stunning brandies that come out of this country that I think are personally much better than, you know, certain cognacs and stuff. But that's
personal preference.
Four episodes ago, was it four? Maybe five episodes ago, we did a local vodka.
Okay.
Produced and bottled in South Africa. AU Gold.
I don't know AU Gold.
I've only found it in one bottle store in South Africa.
I saw it the other day.
We put it against an American vodka.
Mm.
Smashed it. It was amazing. It was a really, really, really good vodka. I was very shocked as to how good this AU Gold is. If I find it again, I'm definitely buying it for the house.
Okay, that's good to know. I mean, vodka. Do you guys know that Mainstay Cane won best vodka a couple of years ago?
Mainstay Cane.
it must have been about a decade ago, won best vodka in the world.
Wait.
How did that happen?
Isn't that because the criteria for good vodka is that it must be tasteless, odorless, and like basically must taste, the more it tastes like nothing, the better it is?
So
is that a thing? Maybe I'm wrong.
But cane is something different, isn't it? Like entirely.
Pretty much a vodka.
Sugar cane versus potatoes, isn't it?
Yeah, but
they don't just make vodka out of potatoes.
They don't just make vodka. Yeah, okay. Exactly. It can be made out of grain.
Yeah.
So they entered it into the vodka category in a global competition, and it came one first one.
Shout out to Mainstay,
and we did on Mainstay because
see, booze without the bullshit.
Booze without the bullshit. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, all of our bougie tendencies are coming out.
It's also just the way that things have been marketed to us. Let's be honest, as consumers.
Right.
What do you think of Hay Club?
Not my cup of tea, personally. I don't have anything against the brand. It's just not my profile. Also, I mean, I love Scotch, but when it comes to Scotch, I am definitely more of a peated whiskey girl. I love peated whiskey. I love that smoky flavor. Very, very big into that. And then I'm the polar opposite. I love my bourbons. So my palate is all kinds of weird. So those like that type of style of whiskey is not really my...
So I love bourbons, but I like whiskey that's not peated at all.
Okay, yeah.
If the most amount of peat is probably like Johnny Double Black, that level of peat. It's not even registering on the peat level. And I also don't like Hague. So I don't know what point Hague
looks like. I don't like Hague for very different reasons, because like, I like peaty stuff, like, we have this running argument. I think you guys have, I think it's under Truman and Orange, but Montelobos?
Yeah, Mezcal.
I love it.
It's insane. It is
I love
so
it.
Good.
I'm sorry.
I love
it. It is absolutely
it's
amazing.
It's my shit.
Yeah.
I haven't ordered
it's amazing.
A
page. Oh my gosh, have you had a Montelobos margarita?
No.
This is
life-changing.
This is like...
Yes.
Syntax, ask the guys to make you a Montelobos margarita. Insane. Like, it is so... It is absolutely amazing.
For our listeners, a mezcal is like a tequila, but not really a tequila.
No, but you see, because I discovered why.
Okay, why?
And you can correct me if I'm wrong here. So they make it out of the same / similar thing, like an agave.
Yeah.
But like mezcal, they put it in the ground and they burn it.
So it's from hell.
Smoke comes and it's like...
So mezcal is from hell. I knew it.
Yes, and you know Satan is a good drinker. Like...
I'm not a fan of mezcal. It's way too...
Would you rather drink with Jesus or the devil? I mean...
Hey, Jesus juice. Snoop made a song about it.
What What's Jesus juice?
It's all the good liquid.
Think about it. Mother Teresa's in heaven. Snoop Dogg's not going to
heaven. She's Catholic, fam. You know how Catholics drink? I'm there.
Yeah, but they drink sherry.
No, not only, fam. And they smoke. You think Catholics are not smoking weed?
Who are you drinking with now?
Who am I drinking with? Rock. Mm. No, but to be fair, I am drinking with Hitler. I'm drinking with Hitler. I'm drinking with Favud. I want to figure out what was his deal.
What was going on?
Like, what happened? What are you, who hurt you?
Like
where did Uncle Tuck, this guy?
Who hurt you is probably the best question you could ask. Like, who, right? Who hurt,
like,
you?
No, where did Uncle Tuck?
Just yeah, show me on the teddy bear. Yeah, oh, I don't understand.
You're taking a doll to hell. Like, show us where Uncle touched you.
Because I don't understand. Like, Hitler makes no sense to me. Genuinely, as a human being, he makes no sense to me.
Dude, the whole thing is... What, his granny was Jewish? But, okay, that's a different conversation.
I want to interview Genghis Khan. Like, what of the G. world is related.
Genghis Khan makes sense to me.
What a G, though, right?
Because, like... That kind of thing kind of happened back then. Like, rape was kind of in fashion. Oh, it's not a great thing to say.
Ooh.
Yeah, hot topic. Ooh. But I just mean welcome. At that time. I do not mean... I don't, I'm not...
We're talking, what are we talking?
I'm
like
saying like...
BC. We're talking
I'm
BCs,
saying
yeah.
In the time of Genghis Khan. Like, yeah. That is what happened. And, like, people... Now, yeah. Are they terrible people? Yes. That is not what I'm fighting here. But I'm saying, so that is what he did. Like, that's what he did.
Yes.
I don't understand Hitler.
Time changes things. Like, 007 used to beat women back in the day.
Yeah, he is weird.
He's, yeah, that was problematic. Weird. We're still watching movies
now. Watching old Bond movies
007 used to punch out women left, right, and center. It was problematic.
It's super old. Not even that, just like, yeah, just his general interactions with women were... super old. But I like...
Oh, that one where he found someone bathing, and he was literally like... He removed, like, she covered her privates with a washcloth or something. No, white people don't use washcloths. She covered her privates with a towel.
Wait, wait, that's another question. Why do white people like washing properly?
And then, like, James Bond, he just, like, took the towel away. And then he started talking to her. And she was like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very awkward. Speaking of, guys, okay. So, this weekend... My daughter was telling me a story. And I was like, this like...
Wait, what?
So there's a girl at her school who has no friends. Mm-hmm. I was like, why doesn't she have friends? And like, you know, my whole thing was like, no, go play with the kids. Like, be nice. She was like, she smells. And I was like, no, man, she doesn't. Like, I was like, what does she smell like? Like, she was, and then she told me after, she was like, no, she washes once a week.
Okay, how? Then that's
I
her own fault.
I have so many questions.
That's her own fault.
Where are her parents?
Mm.
What are her parents like...
Yeah.
When
what's going
does she choose when to? Oh, and she owns horses, so she rides the horses 3 times a week, but washes once.
That's not okay.
I was like, guys, this very serious parenting issue.
Are her parents German?
I don't know. I don't care where you're from. We like, I wanted.
That sounds suspiciously
German.
This.
I wanted to call social services.
This is suspiciously German. I know a few of them. I've heard the stunt before.
You've heard somewhere before that washing once a day
yes.
is a vibe.
No, once a week.
Once a week.
Once or twice a week is like the norm for said people. And not poor, because there aren't any poor Germans in South Africa, but from very, very rich Germans, like politically connected Germans. Yep, I've heard the story.
I don't like the people
Austrian,
you know.
I've been to the Austrian... Council dinner that happens once a year.
Are you basically telling us that you're a spy?
Yes.
Is this basically what you're telling us?
Yeah, okay. Fine.
That sounds like
I'm
it.
Okay. I've been to the Austrian Chambers dinner that happens once a year, where there's a lot of Germans and a lot of Austrians that congregate to this thing.
How
and sweet. People speak. Well, that's a long story as to how I'm there. But anyway.
Sounds like spying to me.
And they have speakers. So, like, Musima Imani was a speaker once Helen Ziller was a speaker. The one time even Julius Malema was a speaker. So they have some people speaking, like political people, and it's just German and Austrian business people. And they always have it at the Johannesburg Country Club. People get drunk because liquor's free-flowing, and you end up talking, and you hear about things, and fam, German and Austrian people don't like a bath or a shower or anything considering soap.
It is cold there.
They don't do it. They don't like it.
I mean,
but in SA, they live in SA. People have been in SA for 5-10 years already.
Trauma is real, fam.
PTSD. Oof. It'd be a thing. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Lauren needs to get out of here because she's got more brand ambassadoring. Oh. Brand ambassadoring to do.
You mean partying
no,
for money?
Not partying. Partying for money. Make me sound like...
What's the legit partying for money you can do?
Yeah, it probably is the most legit way you can party for money. I am, like what you guys say, a part-time alcoholic.
Yeah.
That but, is, but in the best way, though. Yeah. In the best way.
So where can people find you?
Socials? Yeah. You socials or the company? Or?
Yeah, so Truman and Orange is obviously on Instagram. Buffalo Trace SA has got their own page as well. My personal page, you're always welcome to follow me. I constantly update about what events I'm getting up to, guest shifts, upcoming whiskey festivals. We're going to be at Whiskey Live as well. If anybody's around, wants to come pop past the Buffalo Trace stand, come say hi. Come taste some of our other brands and actually taste Buffalo Trace. My Instagram is at the Lol Penny, so find me there, and then Buffalo Trace SA and Truman and Orange.
And what is like one tip you would give for like newcomers into bourbon who are like trying to get into it but don't know?
If you even just getting into whiskey itself, bourbon is a really nice place to start. It's a little bit more sweeter, it's a little bit softer, but it does have those whiskey characteristics. Don't be scared to try different brands. You know, you might not like one brand, but then you'll taste something else, and that might be towards your flavor profile. Obviously, different bourbons have different mash bills, which is a signature of how much of the quantity of they use of the ingredients. So one might be a slightly more wheated forward, some might be slightly more rye forward, which then makes it more spicy. Mm. Whereas the wheat makes it a lot more dry, and it like a different finish, and then you're going to have obviously more corn forward, it's going to be a lot more sweeter caramel. So try different bourbons just to kind of see what fits to your palate. And like I said, Whiskey Live is actually a really cool place to do that, because you're not buying a whole bottle. You've got the brands there. Come try them and have a conversation and just see what else is out there. It's a fantastic category. There's amazing brands in it. And it's just, for me, I just want to pass that love on to everybody and just get everyone to actually try something new. And it doesn't have to just be whiskey. It can be something else.
When is Whiskey Live?
6th, 7th and 8th, as far as I know. I should know that off by heart, but...
Oh, yeah, 6th, 7th and 8th, yeah. We've been invited by the organizers as well.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, on Insta.
I might get drunk on the flight. I might have to get drunk, then get on the flight.
Ooh, oh, interesting.
Where is it?
Oh, actually, it's a terrible idea.
Take one, a
little bit fake. Isn't it usually at Santon?
It's normally at the convention center. Ah. We'll probably be there again this year.
Yeah,
cool. Well, thank you, Lauren. We'll see you in Cape Town when we shoot this Buffalo Trace.
Hey, the ad is about to be litty.
Oh, we are going to be topless. We're all going to be...
No, we're not going to be topless. We're going to be naked.
We're going to be in a giant tumbler swimming
just
in Buffalo.
Just a disclaimer for my bosses that are listening to this. I did not condone this. This is their video by themselves. I swear I'm not part of this at all.
The views and opinions.
But I might go to them a bottle of Buffalo Trace just on the side.
Thanks so much, guys. So that was Lauren Penny from Buffalo Trace. She's nice.
She's nice.
I like her. She's nice.
She's my friend.
She's my friend, and she has a belly button.
Shout out to Lauren.
Lauren had to dip because, you know, some people have jobs. Yeah. But it does mean we can do final thoughts. What you thinking, Shum?
It's my word. I have to be super honest here. It's good. It is good. It's good for the price point. I don't know, hey. It's a bit rough at the end for me. Like the aftertaste is a bit of a it might be acquired. And so if I'm giving this bourbon, rating it as a bourbon, I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10, eh? I can't go higher than that. I really can't.
You know, it's weird. And as much as I do like to say, I will sell out for money. And I will. That's not a lie. Like, the day y'all find me here...
I'm not.
The day y'all find me here telling you how delicious Hate Club is. Just now I secured the bag. And y'all can call me a sellout. And I will be like, yes, I'm a sellout in the back of my Maybach. Like, I'm alright with that. But...
I'm with you, bro.
This fam.
I know what poverty is.
Fam. But true story, part of the reason I got in contact with Lauren was because I really like this shit.
I like a bit of that harshness only because I kind of like a bit of that harshness from bourbons. I find a lot of bourbons kind of have it. They have like a sort of "you are mine now" kind of taste to them. Like they put a little bit of hair on your chest. And of the bourbons I've tasted, and I will confess, not all of them. I haven't tasted mad bourbons, so maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the best bourbon I've tasted.
Okay, fine. Cool.
And
I'll concede to that point.
And I like it. I would give it a 7. Like, I think if this was more readily available,
yeah,
it would replace my wife.
Oh, wow. Over the Pogues?
No, the Pogues was my mistress.
Oof.
Remember, the Pogues was my mistress. And the Pogues did like give my wife competition, but my wife is my wife.
Here's the thing. This and the Pogues. Okay, the Pogues is about 100 rand cheaper than this.
The Pogues is not 200 rand.
The Pogues is cheaper. This is 299.
Yeah, the Pogues is not 199.
How much is the Pogues?
Pogues not 199, fam.
I can't remember what the Pogues is.
The Pogues was 299. You
was it 260? I think it was 260. Like, okay, fine. So the Pogues is cheaper by 20 bucks. Fine. The Pogues is cheaper by 20 bucks. I'd rather have the Pogues. I will choose the Pogues over
this. I think I would take this.
You take this?
All
right. I like it.
Guys, try it out. All I know is both is beating Jameson, which is fine with me.
Yes, I don't know why you just like my wife so much. Eh? You know,
it's so funny that you created the analogy that Jameson's your wife, and now they're both beating her.
This is that thing, you know, like when you're with a girl for long and your friend's like, yo, I really don't like your girl. Yeah. That girl's cool. That girl's cool. Even that one.
Your girl. No.
Your girl is trash. That's, and then when you guys break up, you're like, ah, God, I see what you mean.
No, anyway. Okay, amongst this house that owns quite a few brands of different types of bourbons and different types of ingredients in bourbons, Buffalo Trace is maybe my third favorite from this group. So
Siri keeps doing that shit. Guys, Apple, please stop listening to us.
Yeah.
Oh, that happened to me the other day. I wasn't doing shit. I was just talking. And my phone was like, eh? What are you saying?
CIA?
So Siri was listening to you and she was like, I found this on the web. And now I've got all these searches of what you were talking about now.
CIA? Send the check. Money by Monday, CIA.
Oh, I will also say this. I don't like it with the soda water.
I kind of do.
I don't like
it. I kind of like it with the soda water. It's a bit rough without it.
Like
the finish is rough, bro.
Nah, I like it ghetto.
I like a bit of smoothness at the end.
All right, you like it with a bit of tough.
I like a bit of a smoother.
You know I like a bit of drama.
You know what it is. Like, you know when they say like a smoother finish? I like a smooth finish, like a single malt kind of smooth finish. I don't mind like a rough early starter. This has a rough finish. I'm not a fan of a rough finish.
I like a smooth start and a rough finish. Because, like, it came into my mouth nicely. Pause.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Buffalo sperms.
Buffalo semen is apparently mad expensive. But that's
something. Wait, how do you know that?
Why do you know these things?
Oh.
Remember the episode where the dude was like, where Jeremy said, like, Buffalo sperm is like 30,000 pounds a liter? I was like, and it's also because, like, how much?
Liter?
Like, bruh. I can see why it costs that much. Like, imagine how many buffaloes you gotta wank.
Imagine your job. Imagine that's your job. How do you even introduce yourself to people? What's your job? Oh, I wank buffaloes.
You know what's really funny here? Like, guys, okay, yes. Today was not the wildest episode you've ever heard. Because we had a nice, happy white guest.
Yes.
And she's a very lovely person, and I actually really enjoyed this episode. It was actually our most technical episode, which is cool. Like, I like that we actually some got edumacation. To speak about the things. I'm just laughing because, like, notice as soon as she leaves, it's like Buffalo Spur.
Come in my mouth.
We are fucking children. Anyway, it is what it is, guys.
Yeah.
Buffalo Trace. Oh, let's just remind people of the question. It is, what's the difference between...
What is the difference between a bourbon and a Tennessee whiskey.
Best fake answer.
There is one step that we mentioned earlier in this podcast. Bad answers or fake answers or nonsense answers or wrong most entertaining answers and the funniest answers only. The right answer is losing this.
You owe us a drink.
And you will win.
Actually, if they give us the right answer, but it's mad funny.
No, fuck that smoke.
Oh, no. Yeah, that.
The right answer, but it's mad funny.
How are you
going to
make the right answer funny?
That's our prerogative. If you just say the right answer, cool, next.
And you already heard, like, Buffalo Trace is pretty hard to get. So you'll win a bottle of Buffalo Trace, not a bottle of BJ.
Yeah. You will. And I'm not even lying. I'm kind of mad at that shit. Because I want this
for ourselves, actually.
I was like,
I think, oh, you know what, actually, the person.
Yeah. Fuck it. There's a time limit. Yeah, I don't answer a certain amount of. If we don't get good enough answers in a certain amount of time, fuck it, we're keeping it.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping the bottle for ourselves.
December's coming, fam. And not all of us are getting bonuses. Anyway, part-time alcoholics, it's episode 22. Peace.